Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, October 24th. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Transformation Tuesday. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Transformation Tuesday is our series all year long on fitness and nutrition. We're going to be talking to an excellent expert in that field in just a little bit. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Tuesday. Lots of stuff happening in political news. It is cold as heck here in Northeast Ohio. My friends in LA are suffering through 100 degree weathers today, and we have a high of 59 degrees today. Tomorrow is going to be a high of 48 degrees in little old Northeast Ohio. So a little chilly. Posted a picture on social media today of our trees looking beautiful and fall-like. But it's getting a little chilly for me, I got to tell you. So, well, I wish I was in California. 100 degrees, I would not mind too much right now. Well, I hope you guys, like I said, having a great day today. If you missed yesterday's show, I hope you'll go back and listen to it. You can get it free on our free app on your iPhone or Android or tablet. Just search for the Left of Straight app, Left of Straight Show app in your App Store, and it comes up absolutely free. You can also go to Blog Talk page here or go to our Spreaker page and listen to it. And today we are going to have a fantastic show. Michael Lucas is the founder and CEO of Lucas Entertainment, an adult male entertainment studio that is 20 years in the making. And then our good friend Del Shores will be on to talk about his new theater piece he's put together, along with fitness guru Derek Jameson, who's also actually a magnificent singer, will be in to talk with us for Transformation Tuesday today. So big show happening in just a few minutes. Like I said yesterday, please download, look at that show. We had a great singer, John Constantine. He goes by The Hound. Has a new single out that's absolutely amazing. And we got to talk to the always amazing Margaret Cho, comedian and actress. So good show yesterday, good show today. Tomorrow, we switch gears to our other show, Standing on My Soapbox. I'll be joined by the incredibly handsome, very talented, and highly opinionated Mr. Josh Orozco. He'll be my special guest co-host tomorrow, where we talk about the week in LGBT news, pop culture, politics, and just kind of rant and rave. And it's your call-in show. You can call in and talk to us on the show tomorrow. So hope you join us for that as well. Before we get started, give a big shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you, Tony Guadagnino. His website, tonyguad.com, that's TonyGuad.com, does all of our Twitter posting for us here. He's a great social media consultant and can do all your social media posting for you. You get with him. Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio, a great media sponsor, helps find lots of guests for us, and is a great mentor to me. He is on every Tuesday night, which is tonight, right after my show, 3 hours later, 10 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Listen for On the Rocks, where celebrities and cocktails mix. And a big shout out to our media sponsors, Q Life Media and True FM Media, who feature the Left of Straight Show, and I'll be writing for Q Life hopefully very soon. On social media, you can always follow me. and the handle Left of Straight, and that's always spelled LeftOfStr and the number 8. That's at Left of Straight on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, it's the Left of Straight Show is our Facebook page. And my personal page is Scott Fullerton, always looking for new friends on there. And like I said, you can also listen to the show on iTunes and Spreaker, which is Spreaker. Just look under Left of Straight Show there. I always appreciate if you give us a good rating there and tell your friends about it. The better ratings we have, the more ratings we have, the higher it goes up in the search engines there. So I appreciate that. Let's see what we have in the news today. We're going to have our first guest, Michael Lucas, on in just a few minutes here. But there is some fun stuff happening in the news. I don't know if you've seen it yet. And I encourage you to go to YouTube. It's in a lot of the social media sites. I think Queerty has it, and they've got LGBTQ Nations featured it. But there's a great company. It's called Rouse Honey, R-O-U-S-E Honey, out of England, out of the UK. And they have put together a new campaign for honey and porridge. You know, porridge is a big staple food there in the UK. And they have put together a take on porridge and honey by what else? The Three Bears, except minus Goldilocks. These are three gay bears doing a new commercial, and they're doing a limited small web series for the company, for Rouse Honey. Absolutely hysterical. Papa Bear is Phil the Cook. Middle Bear is Joel, and he's called Muscles, and he likes to chop wood and do all the outdoorsy stuff. And Baby Bear is Matt. He's a fitness fanatic. And they are cute. They are fun. If anyone out there listening in UK knows them, can get them on my show, let me know. I've written to the company already. But I'm going to play you. You got to go see the videos. There's the commercial out now, and the first episode, they are having at least three mini web episodes where they actually teach you recipes how to do porridge and honey. And I'm going to give you episode number 1 here. This is the Three Bears from Rouse Honey. I hope you'll love it as much as I do. I just think it's great.
Start the day with a warm bowl of porridge. It's full of manganese, which is a natural antioxidant.
And we all need plenty of those, don't we?
We do indeed.
Yeah. Now, I'm making a blueberry compote.
Thank you, Matt.
With Rouse honey and a generous drizzle of lemon juice.
Thank you, Muscles.
That's nice. That's going to be lovely and zesty. Whilst you're waiting for your porridge to cook, why not heat your undies on the stove?
Ooh, hot pants.
Keep active and release those endorphins.
So I fixed the bike earlier so we can go on a bike ride later.
Yeah. We fixed the
bike.
Well,
I finished the work.
That's why I saw you heading off with a bike pump. I wonder where you're off to.
Well, you know.
Right, time to bowl up, I think. All looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Lovely.
Strawberries, thank you.
Top 5 berries.
Mary Berry. Yeah, she comes quite high for me too.
A spoonful of the compote.
And then some shavings of coconut, which is a great source of iron. And to bring it all together, plenty of this delicious Rouse honey.
Did you know that honey was revered by the Greeks as a traditional remedy? Did you know that?
You've been reading again.
Now, Joel, what have I told you? A little bit of knowledge can be dangerous. I want you to go and forget everything you've learnt.
Okay, it won't be hard.
So there we have it. My delicious blueberry compote porridge with strawberries, lemon juice, coconut shavings, and Rouse honey.
And if all that fails...
Guys, left out.
Aww. Yeah.
There you have it, guys. Like I said, the audio does not do it justice. You have to look at the Three Bears, go on YouTube, go on some of the social media sites for Queerty or for you, for LGBTQ Nation. It is a great video series, and I have to have them on the show. It is so fun. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff there. A couple other things in the news we'll talk about when we have a chance here, but I'm going to go ahead and get to our first guest. He should be calling in any second now. So we're going to be back in just a few moments. We're going to play one of my favorite songs. It is Creep. Actually, no, let's go ahead and play Rise. This is the a cappella version of Rise, Katy Perry's Rise, with Brian Justin Crumb, Superfruit members Mitch and Scott, and a couple of their friends. Love this song. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the fantastic Michael Lucas of Michael Lucas Entertainment. You'll listen to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I won't just survive, oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story, I'm beyond the archetype.
Justin, Scott Hoying, Mitch Grassi, all our friends from Superfruit and their friends. Guys, my first guest today is celebrating his 20th year of moving to America and becoming one of the true leaders in the adult male entertainment industry. He's the founder and CEO of Lucas Entertainment, born in Moscow, who was raised in a secular Jewish family and has been an outspoken advocate for his beliefs in Judaism and Israel ever since. Although receiving a law degree back in Moscow, he realized it'd be easier to use his body and his entrepreneurial drive when he came to the States.
Copper.
And only 1 year after arriving, he founded Lucas Entertainment and built his brand that is still one of the top names in the industry. He has a fascinating story to tell. I'm so excited to have him on the show. So please welcome for the first time, Mr. Michael Lucas. Michael, how you doing, sir?
Thank you for such a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Well,
I'm going
well.
You've
had a wonderful and a fantastic and amazing career, my friend. Congratulations on 20 years in America and really making a name for yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, it was. These were the best 20 years of my long life. I mean, long. I'm 45 years old. So, yeah, it's half of my life, basically, right?
That's exciting.
Yeah,
well, I'm so
years.
Excited to have you on the show. And
thank
so
you.
Much I want to talk about. Let's start from the beginning. I mean, such an interesting backstory there. You grew up in Russia. Talk about that. How was it growing up there for the first half of your life? What was that like for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a very good family. My parents are my father is an engineer. My mother is a teacher of Russian literature, and my grandmother is a teacher of piano in Moscow Conservatory. And my grandfather is also an engineer. So it was a very good family, and my parents. You know, I think that because of my grandmother and my mother, I can appreciate beauty, beautiful music, opera, and I love theater. I think I contributed all to my grandmother and my mother, and they took me to all the cultural events available. But other outside of the family, that was very difficult because gay LGBT people, we all are different. And
right.
And Russia is not the country that that is kind to people that are different. And then there is also nobody who can protect you. And that was very difficult. You know, children are cruel, and
sure.
teachers do not understand. And they were making fun of how I walk, how I talk. You know, I mean, the usual stuff, and also it was very difficult for me because I didn't know why I'm different and why I feel the way I feel. You know, I knew that I'm attracted to men very early in my life, and you know, back then we didn't have in the 80s we didn't have this accessibility to information that we have now. So and it was very, very confusing for me not to know why I'm attracted to guys. And I remember being attracted to guys since I was, I think, 5 years old. You know, I also was very sexual, you know, from very early age. I was very much interested in sex. And, I was getting into trouble because of that. And,
October is National Coming Out Month here in the States. Talk about what was your coming out story to yourself and maybe your coming out story in general?
You mean to my family or in general? I mean, to my family, that was easy. I was very lucky because my grandmother, because she worked in Moscow Conservatory, it's the biggest music, most important music institution. There were a lot of gay people there. And so, she was familiar. I think she knew that I'm gay, you know, and my mother knew, I think, and so it was not.
They all
difficult.
Do. All moms do.
Well, yeah,
all
but you know, I particularly appreciate that they took it well because in Soviet Union they also didn't have any information. They didn't know anything about it. There was one thing everyone knew, that there are homosexuals and they are perverts that they go to jail. You know, my mother told me later, you know, actually when I moved her and my family to America, my mother told me that she had a friend and he jumped off the balcony when police came to arrest him. He committed suicide. I didn't know that, you know. So my mother... They knew that I am, and they didn't give me any hard time. That was actually, you know, something I really, really do appreciate, because a lot of families in Soviet Union were not as understanding. And I pay them with love for their love. I brought my parents, my grandparents actually came first in the year 2000, and I brought them here, and then my brother, and then my parents. Within a year and a half, we were all here. You know, as soon as I got my green card. So I came here in 97, and in 2000, I got my green card. So, yeah, that's a story. But, you know, about Russia, as I said, the Russians do not like each other. The Russians are, they don't, and definitely don't like anyone who is different. There are always beautiful exceptions from the rule, right? I have some Russian friends, and they're wonderful. But overall, it's a very cruel culture, very cruel culture. And I didn't go there for a very long time. As soon as my family came here, I didn't want to go there for, I think, 7 years I didn't go, except I returned to make a documentary when Russia introduced anti-gay laws. That's when I returned, okay. And I made this documentary, The Campaign of Hate, Russia, and Gay Propaganda. It was on Netflix for 2 years. It just went off Netflix, but you can still watch it. You can. I think now we've either already made it available or making it available on michaellucas.com. And another documentary, which is already there, available, also went off Netflix. It's my documentary about Israel. It is called Undressing Israel, Gay Men in a Promised Land. And that is on michaellucas.com for free. So two documentaries that I made, and they are very different. One is a light documentary about gay Israel, and another one is a very serious work about gay Russia, about the life of gay men and women in Russia. I made it when Russian parliament was debating to introduce the new legislation that would that went through that is in one line. It says this is a law against that will punish the propaganda of pedophilia and homosexuality. In one line,
that's horrible. Yeah,
making Russians confusing Russians, making them think that it's the same thing, and. You know, in my when I was growing up, actually, it was not. While there were, you know, there were homosexuality was persecuted, criminally persecuted. In the same time, people were not talking about it,
right.
And thought, you know, they didn't. You know, it was just something what no one talked back then. But now it is actually worse, and it is worse because of this law. It brought a lot of negative attention, and gay people are being are viewed now by Russian society as agents from the West that are there, that are being inspired by the West. And, you know, Russia hates America and hates Western Europe.
Right.
I mean, that Russia doesn't have many friends. You know, Russians' friends are, you know, beautiful countries like China and North Korea and Venezuela, and Syria, that these are Russian friends, you know. They have expression, you know, there's expression in Russia, tell me who your friends are and I will tell you who you are. And they don't really, that's what they should think about. But yes, I'm saying that, Russians, I went there when they introduced this a draconian law, and I made this documentary about how different people, straight and gay, deal with this law, and interviewed journalist Masha Gessen. She's a journalist for New York Times, and she lived in Russia at that time with her partner and three kids, and it was the only gay family, openly gay family. And then I was filming them there when she told me she's not going to be moving. And then I filmed her here, and her family decided to run away from there because it became so dangerous. And you see what they're doing now in Chechnya, which is a part of Russia.
Horrible. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it is horrible. It is horrible. It's not as cruel as in Russia, but this is a Muslim part of Russia, and Muslims are as you know, are very cruel when it comes to homosexuality. So while, you know, Russians are, you know, putting homosexuals fines on those who, as they say, promote homosexuality and pedophilia, which is a very strange law. You know, who knows?
Right.
You can interpret it the way you want. It's very vague. Now, what does it mean, the propaganda? Does it mean hold hands in public? Does it mean that walking around with a gay flag or trying to have a parade on the coming out day? I mean, who knows, right? It fits everybody,
right.
Any LGBT person. It's a very cool country which I came from, and I have some good memories of in university. I graduated as a lawyer, and you know, while it was very bad, very difficult in school, because you know kids are cruel. In the same time, you know, in university it was a good university. It was a better crowd, and I had a good time actually in my last 5 years. Also, it was a time when Yeltsin came to power and gave people freedoms just
That's
to be
crazy.
Squashed later by Putin. Yeah, and that was an interesting time when actually gay people were interesting, and there were some shows where there would be, you know, talk about gays in a good way. It was a very short period of time after Gorbachev when Yeltsin was president. So that short time when Yeltsin was a president, that's when it was interesting. Then Putin destroyed it, and he showed gay people. He chose gay people in order to deflect the attention from economic situation, and showed them as enemies, and very successfully. Every talk show was talking about gays and how we in America and all over Europe, we had demonstrations and against this those laws. That was very bad for Russian gays because the Russians were using that against gays in Russia. I mean, that was very bad because they would show demonstrations of, you know, gay people, that LGBT people having the picture, the photos of Putin with lipstick and you know, obviously drag queens and anybody who Russians cannot relate to, and saying, well, this is what they're pushing on us. They're demanding that we will accept this lifestyle. And, you know,
gotcha.
sometimes, unfortunately, it's terrible for people to, you know, it's very difficult for people to understand. Sometimes we cannot help, and sometimes by trying to help, we only can hurt. That we were trying to help actually did hurt a lot of people. You know, that's and now it's actually hurting people in Chechnya.
Right.
We can't.
Well, I love talking about this because one of the things I really love about you is you're a very outspoken advocate. And we're going to talk about the business in a bit, but you're so prolific. You're a great writer. You've written for so many, for a lot of LGBT magazines, for HuffPost, for all these other things. But you really are a great vocal critic, but also passionate about it. You've done so much. Just the New York community, I remember that when they wanted that Palestinian group to go there a few years back, you kind of really talked about who is LGBT friends and who isn't. Where did your passion and platform come from? Were you always outspoken, or did the success in the industry help you become more comfortable in your speaking?
I always was, and you know, I was always an independent thinker, and I, you know, that did get me to lots of troubles. You know, I was often going against the current, and I remember that in Moscow, I had, and you know, it's really true. I had always this very good idea that I am a free person and I don't have to do things that society was telling me I have to do. I remember that I went to pioneer camp. That's like, you know, and I was, you know, pioneers. That's like, you know, right. communist youth. It's kind of like here it will be equivalent to scouts, you know, to Boy Scouts. And I remember that I would refuse to go and salute the flag every day at 8 in the morning. And, you know, my thinking was, well, what are they going to do? And my thinking was, why do I have to do it? I'm a free person. I don't have to do it. And I, you know, was reprimanded terribly. And I was humiliated and embarrassed, but I was stubborn and uncompromising. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. And in school, I would refuse to wear a pioneer tie, the red tie, because I believed that, you know, I decided
always
that I don't have to wear. I was always a rebel. It is. And, you know, sometimes I'm embarrassed because that I was such trouble because my parents were it was very difficult for my parents because, you know, they were called to school and asked, what is it going on in your family that he is, you know, that he is you know, where's the, my parents, it was not coming from them, you know, and, you know, they didn't know anything about it, that some people can think independently, you know, that's coming from there. I mean, didn't make my life easy back then, and it's not definitely not making my life easier now. You know, I start choosing my battles because, you know, life is short sometimes, and I do choose my battles. You know, I became wiser.
I like a strong opinion. I mean, people can disagree, and that's what people don't understand anymore because it's become so polarized in this country now, of course, where you have to agree or you totally disagree on everything. But I love someone that has a strong opinion, and everyone should be entitled to their own opinions. I love how you talk about Israel, how you brought a lot of your men to Israel and did that great film over there and kind of really showed it off. It was almost like a travel piece. It was like pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. It shows your love for it.
Thank you. You should see my documentary as well. You're talking about the movie Men of Israel. Men of Israel was a very big movie. It was even written about in Los Angeles Times. And then I followed up on this film. That's when I actually used only Israeli guys. And that was the first movie, a porn movie, filmed in Israel. And then I liked it that so much that I brought a lot of Europeans and Americans and then mixed them with Israelis that I worked with. And that became that was another fantastic movie, Inside Israel. Followed men, you know, after men, like about half a year after Men of Israel. And the crew had just such a good time filming that.
I just remember your passion about it. I want to see that documentary. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, and I think Israel is more of a political documentary. It's sexy in the same way. A lot of hard guys and really intelligent, smart people with good stories. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
been very vocal on Islam, and I like your opinions on that. It's like, and you're a conservative person overall, I think. It's what I've kind of comes across from reading about you and everything, but you're very much that we can't have these bans just on, you have to understand what the different parts of Islam are to really understand the culture before you can get too carried away with it, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, look, I don't speak what I don't know about. I know a lot of people speak about things that they don't know about. I never do. Not only I read everything from different works about Quran to about political Islam, I traveled to all over Middle East. I traveled to also Islamic countries in Asia, into Indonesia. I do actually travel a lot, and I do meet locals. I do talk to locals. Yeah, I do read a lot, and my opinion is shaped by what I read, what I listen, what I see, what I hear, and what I see, it's very difficult for the left to sometimes the left is very see Israel as an aggressor and Arabs as underdogs. And in my opinion, it's all the way around. Israel with its 6 million people, 6 million Jews, is a country that is surrounded by 350 million people that want to destroy it. And if they would have had their way, they would have killed everybody. The way Al-Qaeda and ISIS kill people the same way, cutting throats. I have no doubt about that. It's about, and you know, it's about intent that matters. That, and you know, what we learned from Holocaust, what Jews learned from Holocaust, and I hope other people learned that if someone is telling you that he wants to kill you, do not think he's bluffing. Believe him and do something about it. And by the way, you know, Nazis were not really talking about extermination of Jews. It was kind of done in secrecy. We found out about this when the liberated Americans and Russians liberated Nazi concentration camps. That's when they saw all the 6 million Jews exterminated. You know, here people actually are telling you that Israel should not exist. We will not stop our fight until Israel will be pushed into the sea. And, you know, this is something what I see very clearly. I also see that, you know, that Israel is unproportionately being picked upon and by the world, by the governments, you know. And for me, I see very clear that two parallels. So Jews were unproportionately persecuted and throughout this, you know, since Christ, you know, for thousands of years, you know, and that was always unproportionately to any other group of people, unproportionately, consistently throughout the history, Jews were unproportionately persecuted. And now we have Israel, and Israel is unproportionately criticized, boycotted, picked upon. And that is when I say, well, this is not a coincidence. This is the same old Jew hatred, because Israel is being seen as a collective Jew. And Europeans that killed 6 million of Jews just cannot make peace with the fact that Jews, you know, that ran so far away from Europe, that all the way to Israel, that they cannot make peace with the fact that Jews have now the army and can defend themselves instead of being slaughtered like sheep.
Right.
You know, so
well, I definitely appreciate your passion on it, and I think it's very important that people stand out what they believe. And I wanted to really give you a platform to talk about being the man behind the company, because I love passion, and I think, and I love reading about your different stances. So thanks for sharing that. But we only have about 15, 20 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Lucas Entertainment. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Sounds good.
Father in the sky, and they start into a line. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the tide. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? I just can't get you off of my mind, and I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love. Beautiful, I think you're beautiful. So damn incredible, so unforgettable. Yeah, I think you're beautiful. Baby, you're beautiful. unforgettable. Yes, I think you're beautiful.
Alrighty, we are back. Speaking of beautiful, we are talking to the absolutely beautiful inside and out, Mr. Michael Lucas, the CEO and founder of Lucas Entertainment. Michael, thanks so much for talking with us today. I want to get into your studio. I mean, this is your 20th year in America, but you're 19 years founding your own studio. That's pretty good for that business. That's some longevity there, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a long way, but I'm very proud that I made it in a country that was a foreign for me, and now it is my country. Now I'm a citizen, but it was it's difficult when immigration is always difficult, and of course starting your own business is very difficult. That I made it and that I can employ so many people and help so many people.
Well, talking about your choice in New York, you stayed in New York. A lot of porn we know is done out of L.A. area and Florida.
Yeah.
What made New York stay for your home? I mean, I love the great diversity of people you bring to the film, but what was that decision?
Oh, I just, I came to New York and I fell in love with New York. I lived in Europe before I came to New York for 2 years in Europe, in Germany and France. And then I came to America and I was thinking, oh, my God, why did I spend 2 years in Europe? It is so, people are so much nicer in America. They actually, I believe that Americans are the most wonderful people in the world. They're the friendliest and the kindest people. I really believe so. And that's why I stayed. And I also don't think that I would have been able to have businesses like this in other countries. I believe that America actually still, I know it's more difficult now, but you can have an American dream if you work hard. I really do believe so. And so, yes, New York was just the city that I really fell in love with. I've traveled to many, many places around the United States. New York, for me, is just by far my favorite place, I like to travel everywhere in America. America is a beautiful country. New York just happened to become my home.
Nice.
And I just, all my friends are here, my family. That's only reason. I could have lived much better if I would have lived anywhere else, in Vegas where a lot of companies are now, or in Florida where a lot of adult companies are.
Right.
But because everything is cheaper and, corporate office rent would be cheaper and corporate workers will be cheaper, everything, filming. But I just prefer to be in New York and when I film, I also film most of my production actually, I film one big production in New York, and other productions I film in different countries of the world. We just came back from Mexico, and we filmed in Puerto Vallarta, and we're going in next week. I'm leaving actually on Saturday to Barcelona, filming there for 12 days. And We travel a lot. It's cheaper to film somewhere here, by going to Florida, but it's just not as interesting and challenging for me as bringing production to exotic locations somewhere, by the beach and different culture, and I like to have models from all over the world. So
sure.
That's yep.
I want to ask about a couple decisions you made. First, what was your decision to put yourself in front of the camera? Was that monetary at first, just so you had your first actor to work with? Or what was it like putting yourself in front of the camera, and what kind of decision was that for you? Did you consider it kind of out of necessity, out of bravery, out of just finishing yourself? How did that come about?
Now it is not a necessity. Back then it was, because I my platform was that I became a porn performer. So, and then I was popular, and then I decided to capitalize on that and open the company, and that's how people knew about me. Everyone started writing that, okay, look, Michael Lucas opens his own company. And people were interested in that, and so that's why back then it was important. Because before I started my company, I became a porn performer. I worked in Europe for 2 years, and then I worked here for a big American company for a year exclusively. And then with my name, I decided to announce that I'm opening my company. So back then it was important. Now I still appear in movies, not as often, and that's only reason is because I'm busy. But I just performed in 2 scenes while we were in Mexico, and, they're going to be on lucasentertainment.com.
So brand building at first, and now it's just to give the consumers what they want, because we definitely like you in your videos. You're a very handsome man, my friend.
Thank you so much. Really, really nice. That's very nice to hear. I appreciate that.
And let's talk about another decision that I respect so much. You are you yourself personally don't drink or do drugs, at least don't drink that much or whatever. I don't know what to put words in your mouth.
But you don't allow drugs on
your set either, right?
I never tried, not even a cigarette, no drugs, no drugs at all. Never tried. I don't know what to feel like. And I don't drink. I think, I had a, a sip of wine years ago, and that's really, that's related. I remember I got drunk like from one, from half of the glass, and I like to be in control in those. Anyway, most of the companies, it's not just me, most of the adult companies do not allow drugs on their sets. I know that porn industry is associated with drugs, but no, it's serious job, it's serious work, and we have a we have a very good time on the set without drugs, and yes, we do send people home if we suspect that someone is on drugs. We do the drug test right away. Everyone knows that, so we don't remember anyone showing up high, because we are very upfront about that. It's in our regulations. People sign it that we have a right to do a simple drug test if we suspect some strange behavior. Yeah. So that.
Nice. And I also really respect your decision for safety. I mean, you were one of the huge advocates for condom use early on. Now you've kind of researched, and you're part of the PrEP understanding, which I am as well, knowing how much it reduces that. So you've kind of gone to bareback recently, but you were a strong advocate of condoms at first. I don't
Correct.
Think you would have changed over unless you were pretty sure
I was
of, the safety of your models, right?
I was, I could change 6-7 years ago. I mean, Dark Alley Media, what's the company? Not Dark Alley Media. Treasure Island, I think, they started producing bareback movies, I think, over 10 years ago, I think before 2000. Very long time ago. And they made lots of money. I didn't do it because there were no alternatives. There was only one way of protecting yourself from HIV, and so I made a decision only when PrEP was discovered, and only when after I was on PrEP for about a year. And actually PrEP is 100% effective if you're taking it the way it is prescribed. Correct. When you read about that it's, you know, 85 or 95%, it is because effective. It is because any study, always count cases when someone will not take his medication as prescribed. If you do take it, you're absolutely protected. Absolutely protected. All the models that I work with that are negative are on PrEP. It is now available in Europe, in Canada, in Australia. It is something that is essential, and that's why we changed. You know, you have today, the good thing about today is that you have a choice. Before that, we didn't have a choice. Today, we have a choice how to protect ourselves. You can wear condoms, and you know, condoms are not 100% effective. They're giving you that, you know, number. I don't remember exactly how much the percentage, and that's because they can break, and that's because if you use wrong lubricants with silicone, they lose elasticity. They can, the pores of condom can open, and you can get them still infected. So PrEP is actually more effective because as long as you're taking it, you're protected. So that's very important. That's very, very important.
Yeah, safety of the models is key, and I think I'm a strong advocate of that. Talk about the business today. Is it even worth going into business today with all those things like RedTube and everyone stealing your stuff and streaming it on the internet? What is the business like these days?
Well, you know, we have a very strong, very good brand, Lucas Entertainment, because it's for 20 years. We deliver a really great quality, and we're only doing better. Today, I would have not opened the company because it's kind of, you know, there's no space for porn.
Right.
Because that's so, you know, people film so much of amateur porn and throw it on the tubes, and there's a piracy that is killing the industry. So, you know, everything is becoming much more challenging, and so many companies closed in the last 10 years. So many companies went out of business or were taken over by other companies.
That's what I thought. I mean, that your company is such a, like you said, you live on your reputation. Your reputation is huge in the industry, but I would think it would be difficult these days.
It's not about my reputation. It's a company. You know, company has a reputation for great quality. It's not to do with me. I have great professionals working for Lucas Entertainment, and we hire really good models, and we have a very good crew. So, it's not me. You know, it's I started it, and I have a great, very good idea. I think about how things should, how the film.
Well,
works,
you're the creative
but,
behind it, though. I think you have the eye. I think you would. I don't think there's much that gets past you without you approving it. I think you're probably
I do approve the cost. But I also do let people create. You know, I will always go with what models want to do, as long as, you know, because otherwise there will be, you know, models are not actors. They cannot fake it very well. So they have to have a connection with each other and certain environments where they, you know, can actually enjoy it.
Right. Well, it's such an interesting industry to be a part of. I mean, it used to have such a stigma to be a model, too. And I think nowadays with everyone having, like you said, an amateur video in the background or anything, it's not as bad. Are you getting more or less applicants than you did, say, 10 to 15 years ago?
Yes, we absolutely. Back in the days, we would have maybe 3 applications a week. Today we have about 30 applications a day.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so, and of course that has to do with many things. You know, back then, of course, it was in 1997, you know, people were not really using internet so much and not using emails and sending pictures. But also today, porn is not such a big deal. You know, there's a formalization of the society, if you can say so. You know, look how people are dressed. You know, everyone is
women are showing their boobs big time.
True.
Dressed like hookers, and I mean, everywhere, every show has nudity, and, you know, sex scenes.
Yeah, underclothes have become outer clothes and everything else. There's nothing,
nothing too
discreet anymore.
and it's, and everyone is talking about sex. Sex is no longer a shame, and gay sex is nothing to be ashamed any longer. That is big difference. And by the way, because we have PrEP, people are not afraid of sex. The way, you know, gay people were afraid of sex, they're not any longer. So, you know, it's more and more people are willing to do porn. And you can also see on those tubes, guys are fucking without, you know, being paid just for themselves and then throw it online.
Right.
People are not, no longer, you know, people are fine with that. A lot of guys don't give a shit. So, yeah, it's attitude to nudity changed, to sex changed, you know? It's
exactly.
No longer a big deal. Yeah.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for your time. Running out of
thank
time
you.
Here, and you've been a trooper to
thank
stay on
you.
The phone this long with me. Give everyone where they can find you. Give the Lucas Entertainment website where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, of course, lucasentertainment.com. lucasentertainment.com is our website. We have a big following on Twitter and on Instagram, lucas.entertainment. What else? I mean, I have my personal Instagram is Michael Lucas NYC, New York City, Michael Lucas NYC. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, and you definitely please support us and watch our movies on lucasentertainment.com. When people are honest, they do not steal videos. When they watch it online, from the source, that's the best help, and that helps performers and support performers, and by supporting the company, you support so many performers, because without honest people that pay for porn, there will be no professional porn. That's
exactly
the thing.
Well, Michael, congratulations on 20 successful years. I hope for at least 20 successful more. You've been a fantastic guest. Thanks so much. It was great to meet you. If
thank you.
Devin Franco ever comes by the office, you can have him give me a call just to say hi.
He's amazing, huh?
He is amazing. Thank you very much.
And
not that I
want
porn.
Nice anything, guy.
But,
no, he's a wonderful guy.
I can give you half your stable
too.
Boys' names by heart here. So thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Stay on
have
the line for me, please, Michael. We're going to go ahead and go to break. When we come back, we're going to have writer and director and movie producer Del Shores on. This is Blake MacGyver's mother. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show.
Frigid.
Mother told me, listen, child, my beauty is the sea, and my anger makes it wild. A star will burn until it dies. My earth will shake until I make all my children cry. Mother. Frozen, watch me. Mother.
watch me.
Alrighty, we are back. That is Blake MacGyver with Mother. Guys, I'm so excited for my next guest to have back on the show. He's such a good friend to me and the show. It's his fifth appearance here in Left of Straight show. With six, he does get an egg roll. His latest movie, he wrote, directed, produced, A Very Sorry Wedding, has been a smashing success. It's a sequel to his original film and television series, Sordid Lives. It debuted at number one in a few categories and was the 17th overall movie, period, of all movies on Amazon's list last week. He's just returned from a 50-plus state tour of screenings for the film, and he's out on the road again this weekend as he premieres an amazing new theater event in Palm Springs. Please welcome back to the show, Mr. Del Shores. Del, how we doing?
Oh, we are good. We are good. Everything's good. I'm here in Palm Springs with my three little bitches. We're hanging out for this week, and I'm going to perform here on Saturday night and with a brand new show. It's called Six Characters in Search of a Play. And as you know, I always say I'm not really a writer. I'm just a thief. So these are this is about, you know, basically the show is six people that I have met that have inspired me, and I have yet to put them into a play or a movie or a TV show. But someday you'll watch something and you'll go, oh my God, there's that person he talked about on stage. So that's kind of where this comes from.
You are the master of characters, my friend. I mean, that's our first time we ever met. I was taking a writing class in Columbus, Ohio, and you are an amazing person just to catch the little nuances of each character, as we can see in all of your films and your writing in general. But I can't wait to be introduced to these six newbies here.
Well, you know what I do is I guess I've just always been an observer, and I really love this piece. It's quite frankly, I was like, oh my God, what was I thinking? You know, because we when I didn't sort of
plan on going to this many cities with the movie, and all of a sudden this is looming up on me, and I hadn't written it yet, but I had all the characters in my head. I knew what they were, but I really had to get disciplined on the road, where I was getting up every single morning and making Ann Walker come into my room and performing for her. And of course, the great thing is Emerson Collins is directing this for me. So we were together a lot, and I think I'll be okay. But it was, remember when you're in college and you just have to cram for finals? That's the way I've been feeling this week. So,
exactly. And the cool thing about this, you're known for your stand-up already. This kind of turns out here. This is really more of a theater piece. So you're learning it like a full monologue theater piece, right?
It really is, and I'm trying really desperately to memorize it and to honor my own words, because I rather like this piece, and I love the way that I've constructed it. So, the challenge, of course, is performing it, because I haven't counted yet, but I would say I'm doing at least 15 different characters in this. I mean, there's six main ones, but besides myself, there are other people, you know, in each scene, and it's just a one man show. It's just me doing it all. So, it's a little scary that first time, because you go, oh my God, is it going to work? Because I'm so used to just, you know, standing with a mic and talking shit, you know, and that's easy for me.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be, you're back at your home base there at Camelot. You had such success there in the past with Sorted, of course, and it's such a hometown audience. Of course, we have your Walk of Fame there. You have a friendly crowd to start out with, so it's going to be good, I think.
I have a really, this is a sweet community down here. I love it so much. I actually bought a little place down here last year. So it's a nice retreat for me. And it's always, I always tell Ann Walker, I go, anytime we need some self-esteem, let's just go down to Palm Springs and walk into a bar.
There you go. Oh, I love it.
But it's a very sweet community.
Your California legs back a little bit here. Like I said, you crossed the globe here, at least the country, over 50 times or for 50 different states in the movie. How was that experience for you?
It was wonderful. I mean, you know, any time I complain about any aspect of my life where I go, oh, I'm so tired, I had to get up at 4:30 today to be on a TV show to plug, you know, I think, you know what, just want to slap myself, because there's so many problems in this world right now, and all of my problems are princess problems. It's been such an amazing year, and being on the road with Emerson and some of the other cast members like Newlin Rosemary and Ann Walker, and just to be celebrated and to see the reaction. I mean, you were there, Scott, you and your mom were in Columbus, and what a beautiful night over and over again we had when that audience reacted to the movie. And I mean, you saw tears in that one. I remember there were people in that audience who had a lot of damage from the church, and this movie has really healed a lot of hearts, and I'm really proud of it. I love this movie. I right now, I mean, maybe it's just because it's fresh and it's right there with me, but it feels like my favorite piece that I've ever created with this amazing group of actors.
That's great. And it's also really been held up on the shoulders of the fans. Like you said, you had people contributing to the funding of the movie. They showed up in droves. I think almost every city was sold out for it. Is there any particular fan moment or anything that sticks out to your head in your travels?
Well, there were several. I mean, there truly were. And I mean, every single day I get letters from people who today I got a letter from a guy who said his favorite moment in the movie was when Ty and his dad reconciled, because he and his dad are estranged and he just wants that in his own life. And it's tragic and it hurts all at the same time, but there's something that I think it gives people hope. But I guess the biggest one for me, I don't know if you saw this, but there was this African-American woman with blue hair. I loved her, who stood up in New York and she talked about how she had marched with Martin Luther King, and how, as someone who fought hard for
those rights and now for LGBT rights to see this movie and to see it documented that we have gay marriage, that we have same-sex marriage. And I saw that video online.
It was amazing. The whole cast was just stunned silent and so appreciative, and she was just amazing. That was good.
She was so articulate, and for her to say this movie was full circle for me, it makes me emotional thinking about that, because that was a really, really difficult day for all of us, the whole country, because that was the day that the Vegas shooting happened.
Right.
And here we are with our big New York sold out premiere, and you know, Caroline Ray is there, and Ann Walker's there, and Blake and Emerson, and Louise Beard, our amazing producer who plays Aunt Little Niecy, and then in the audience we had, you know, Richard Klein and Bebe Neuwirth and Jackie Hoffman, and all of these celebs were there. But I started that show by saying, you know, I know we're all hurting here tonight. So all I can offer you is 2 hours to escape to Winters, Texas, and it was a really special night. And when that woman stood up and spoke so eloquently, I literally had to leave the stage and go hug her. It was
a moment, that's for sure. Yeah, I love BB's comments too. BB, I mean, shouted out on social media. She loved that. I mean, I thought that was just fantastic.
She has been so, I mean, I feel like I have a new best friend. Me and BB knew her. I got to work with her now. She's been so sweet on Twitter and just, you know, followed me and has tweeted me. And
you two together
tweeted, you know.
That would be a show I would go see in a heartbeat. That's so funny.
Well, I've loved her forever. I was a huge Cheers fan, huge. So I've been a big fan of her. She's good friends with Caroline Ray, who brought her to the screening.
Madam Secretary, I wrote about, I did reviews for BroadwayWorld.com, and I fell in love with all of them, and Patina and Eric Bergen and all them, but I've been in love with her since Frasier days. She's just an amazing actress.
Oh, she's great, yes.
Well, it's been so successful across the country, and now all of a sudden last week comes, and the DVD, you have these fun little preview contests for the pre-orders for the DVD. Last Tuesday comes. That had to make your heart feel good. Those were some pretty good numbers, my friend.
Oh, it was like, we expect a lot, quite honestly, because we work really hard and we go, okay, this is, but it was way past our expectations. I mean, we always thought, okay, we'll be number one on LGBT because we debuted at number one 8 weeks ago with the pre-order and we've never dropped out of the LGBT number one spot. But then all of a sudden we're number one in romance. We're number two in comedy. I think we actually hit number one in comedy for, I'm sorry. What's it called? Girls Trip. We couldn't unlock them. But then we went all the way to 17 in all movies on Amazon. So
right.
It was just and then seeing, you know, the love, the people just seeing it and having screening parties already. So it's been really cool. It's been great. And we have to give Emerson Collins, man. Emerson Collins worked so hard at launching this DVD with all of us and with our memes and our giveaways. And it's you know, thank God for social media, right, Scott?
he's got that mastered, that's for sure. He has learned that well. But he's such a prolific speaker anyway. And I think Emerson is that unique person, being of the entertainment world, but being so affluent in knowledge of pop culture and politics and everything. He draws from all walks of life. I think that really helps get you to a lot wider audience as well. He's just a smart man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's very smart. He's one of the only people I know who is able to use both left and right brain equally as strong, because he's so brilliant in the movie. His acting is crazy. And it's rare that you can be, you know, you can have both of those brains working so strongly.
Right. It was so funny. I took Mom last Thursday to see Carolyn Ray in her comedy show here in our local casino, and it was so funny. She recognized me from my tweets, and so Mom and I go down for a little meet and greet with her and talk to her, and the first thing she does, she slaps me on the arm and says, "Did you see that we were number one in LGBT and number one in comedy for a while, and we're number..." She was so excited. And she is the nicest on the planet. I can understand how you guys are friends. She is so cool.
Oh, she's one of my besties. I mean, I love her so much. We talk way too much. I'm always running things past her. She's running things past me. She told me the funniest story the other day. She told me that some friend of hers thought that there was somebody gave her candles that were shaped in like cupcakes, and her friend ate this soap bar or this.
Oh no!
That's hilarious. And so by the end of the conversation, I had a character for that woman that she became a human bubble machine and was working kids parties, and you know, a big mistake like eating a soap bar has now become a living.
I love it. Well, she was so sweet too, because she performed last Thursday, which would have been my dad's 78th birthday, which is why I took my mom, and it was one day after her mom's passing of 2 years and one day before her daughter's birthday. So it was an emotional moment for all of us, so we just kind of bonded over that as well. She's just a sweetheart.
She really is. And so funny, right? I mean, how great was her show?
Oh, my God.
I've never seen her do a bad show.
I couldn't believe she came. I mean, I'm in Northeast Ohio, Dale. This little casino doesn't even have a hotel attached. It's like, bless your heart, Carolyn Ray, coming down to our little neck of the woods. And of course, we have the shout-her-outers in our crowd. So she's dealing with the shout-her-outers, and she does part of her act where she talks about different things, and the audience was a sharing. But man, they were sharing big time. It was so funny.
Well,
and she just rolls with
it happens.
And makes it twice as funny.
Yeah, she is. She really taught me. You know, she very much was my mentor with stand-up, because I opened for her in a lot of cities. When I first started doing this, I did another. It was my first show was very much in the vein of this one that I'm doing right now, where it was more theater than stand-up. And what Caroline said is, she said, well, we can pull pieces out of it, and you could do stand-up and open for me. So I did. And she really taught me how to connect with the audience, because if you connect with an audience, they're yours. You know, if you talk them or over them, they're not yours. But if you talk to them and you communicate with them during the show, they are yours. And she taught me that. She also gave me a really great lesson. And one night we were playing this club. It's not there anymore, called Comics in New York. And it was me, Caroline, Leslie Jordan, and Rue McClanahan. It's called a Sordid Affair. And there were probably 20 people in the audience. It was like a Tuesday night. It was just awful. And I'm like, we have Rue McClanahan. She's a legend here tonight. We have Leslie Jordan. We got 20 people. And I'm like bitching backstage. And she goes, you know what, Dale? You got to play to those who came. You don't punish the people who came because of the, you know, you don't punish the ones who didn't. You don't punish the ones who were there by those who didn't come up. So I'm not wording this well, but anyway, it was a big lesson. And I've always thought, I don't care how many are in my audience, I'm just going to play right to you.
There you go. All right. Well, I know you are super busy getting ready for this. I'm going to let you go. And just, I do have to ask you though, I did see, you know, I'm a social media fan of all you guys. What's up with your mother-in-law and father-in-law winning a karaoke contest the other night? How cool is that?
Well, how great was it, and how funny is it that they were lip-syncing to themselves? They literally, because they recorded the song, and then they it was a lip-sync contest, and so they recorded a song that they lipped to themselves. So, which is, yeah, that was them singing on the track. So that was their own recording. It was kind of like, you know, what Britney
does. I did not know that part. you have a fun family, my friend. Two beautiful daughters and a lot of fun people around you.
So, yeah, well, and I just real quick, because I always like to throw it in, go to averysordidwedding.com if you want to know more about the DVD and where to get the VOD and all of everything. And then, I don't know if you put this up or something, but Outlandish, it's outlandishps.com where you can get tickets to my show here in Palm Springs.
I have it posted. They start at $30, guys. A deal, a bargain at the Camelot Theater this Saturday at 8 p.m. Of course, the DVD for A Very Sort of Wedding is available on Amazon. I don't believe how you marked it at $10. That's an amazing price, my friend. Great Christmas gifts. And Del, I love you. Thanks for being such a great part of the show.
All right. Thank you so much, Scott. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Take care.
All right. Stand in line 2 seconds for me. We'll say goodbye here. We're going to play out to Blake MacGyver, This Is Who We Are from A Very Sordid Wedding. When we come back, I'm going to have Derek Jameson in our Transformation Tuesday fitness segment.
Pulling past the signpost of this tiny weathered town, the tears welled up so high inside, I thought that I might drown. Everything's different, but it all looks the same. And now you're here beside me, and I'm rid of all my shame. I just hope that they will see what has always been in me. How much do I love you?
With twists and
friends. It's Transformation Tuesday, our season-long commitment to health and fitness. I'm personally going through my own transformation, and I'm bringing some of the best and brightest in the industry to show us all how to work on our own fitness and health regimens. Today, I'm so happy to bring the very talented and very handsome Mr. Derek Jameson, who, when not making fantastic music, is the fitness manager at the Fitness Effect in Los Angeles. Please welcome the show, guys, Derek Jameson. Derek, how you doing, man?
I am doing great. Thank you very much.
I am so happy to have you on a Transformation Tuesday. We had a wonderful interview not too long ago here, but I wanna pick your brain a bit. I mean, you do this fantastic work at the Phoenix Effect in LA, and remind my listeners real quick. You've been when did you start into training, and what kind of got you into making it an entire lifestyle?
I actually started training in Austin, Texas, and that was back in 2007. And I, at the same time I was training or learning training skills, I was in pharmacy, and I learned all this pharmaceutical stuff, and I dropped it after I graduated the program because I was like, that's not what my life is about. I need to focus on something that helps live more, and I decided to just dive into being a physical trainer for, you know, people that want to transform their lives or have an idea of something bigger for themselves. So I've been training since 2007, and now I'm the fitness manager and coach at the Phoenix Effect.
That's amazing. And tell me, what kind of programs do they offer there, and what kind of classes do you teach, or what do you do as a fitness manager? What's your kind of jobs performance there?
For sure. Well, it is a strength and conditioning gym, so it's kind of getting a full program, a full fitness program, including coaching on nutrition and supplements if necessary, in order to create a complete program for our members. And we have varying formats, so it's not just one type of workout. It has a bunch of different workouts so that you can always keep your results responding, keep your body from getting stagnant, and also entertaining your mind, because if you get bored, your body's going to get bored, so on and so forth. So we have things that are just focused on heavy lifting, and we have exercise formats that are focused on high-intensity interval training, and we also have obstacle course racing simulation training too. So we have all kinds of formats to get people into their fitness programs.
That's great. And I think we talked a little bit about on your interview, this is an LGBT-owned club, but you guys work both with the LGBT and the straight community, which kind of is a great cohesion of the two and getting to know each other. So everyone's pretty welcome, right?
Yes, of course, and that's what a big purpose of the Phoenix Effect is, that we create a community aspect for everyone. It isn't just about one type of person. We have a world community here, so we need to learn how to be together, work together, and actually come up together. And that's what I love about it. It's a safe place that people can come and get stronger mentally, physically, feel proud, and also, especially if they're new to LA, they get a place where they can meet friends and create, you know, workout plans together. And then we do social clubs. We actually have a social club for Halloween at the Haunted Hayride that I organize myself. And we put that together so that people have a sense of community and a sense of belonging, not just a place they show up to work out at.
I love that. Well, the way we're doing this is I started my fitness journey just a little bit before we started season three. Season three started in September 1st, and we're going to do an entire Transformation Tuesday every Tuesday until the season ends in June. We go through Pride season. So I want to try to kind of keep it where I'm at in my journey. I'm, like I said, very new. I'm a little chubbier guy. I was healthy, but I've always felt healthy, but I was always a chubby guy. Now I'm starting to have to take pills and stuff, so it's decided time to transform my body. I'm about 2 months in now. I've lost 30 pounds through nutrition and through exercise. Tell me what someone it's mostly been dieting where I've lost this weight. I haven't done a lot of, as far as the fitness side yet, as far as the working outside. What should someone who is a little heavier in body type, what's a good way for them to work their way into a fitness program? I think I probably need more fat burning than I do muscle building right now. Or is it a combination? What would you recommend someone that's been losing weight now for a couple of months through nutrition, through their eating, and now is getting ready to start an exercise program? What are your recommendations?
It's important to incorporate both cardiovascular training as well as resistance training. So you don't want to neglect one thing because they work together. And that's kind of what HIIT training does, or high-intensity interval training. It kind of mixes the two things together so that way you're still burning fat. Because at one point you plateau because your body's so used to just the healthy eating aspect, you got to take it up a notch. So once you start combining that HIIT training, it's going to give you resistance training, and it's going to create that cardiovascular burn, so to speak. Once you build muscle and you keep that cardiovascular training up, that is just going to come together, so that way you're building muscle, losing fat, and you're going to see the definition a lot faster. But as important as the cardiovascular training is to burning, the more muscle that you have, the more you're going to burn calories, the more your body is going to want them. So not only do you physically look more lean, but your body's processing those calories a lot faster. So you don't want to neglect and just do one type of program. You want to make sure that your bones stay strong by doing resistance training, and you want to make sure that your body mechanics are going to be appropriate so you don't hurt yourself along the way. You know, but you start small and then you work up as you go along and you see what's right for you. The biggest thing is that people limit themselves and they don't try something out of fear, and they don't know that they can actually do it, like a pull-up. More people can do pull-ups than they think if they use a little bit of assistance.
I love that. And talk about, I mean, I hear so much about leg day and back day. Is it smart to start with separate groups when you're starting out, or should you just do a full, like you said, kind of mix it up a little bit with both cardio and the different techniques?
When you're first starting out, I think it's a good idea to incorporate a full body workout in some form or another, only because your muscles aren't used to being under that much so-called stress. And if you're focusing so much on a bunch of back exercises and you're just, you know, it's your first day, well, you're going to be pretty sore. So you just kind of want to go through activation drills and mobilization to make sure that your body is mobile to do full ranges of motion and activate the muscles correctly. It comes down to mind-body connection. It's not just moving your body because something looks like it's doing one thing. It's about thinking about what the movement is. Is your muscle contracting where you want it? Are you doing the proper body mechanics in order to get to that goal? Those are important things to think about.
Fantastic. And now at this point, what do I want to look for? If someone decides to go a personal trainer route or something, what should the trainer be doing at this point? How do I know someone is being effective and not coddling me or not holding me back too much or making me go too forward? Where would you, if you had a client like me now just starting out, what would your goals be as the trainer?
I look for people that are going to be invested. And I don't mean money-wise. I mean invested in themselves to actually get to where they want to. In the end, a trainer and a client relationship is just that. It's a relationship. It's a partnership. So if one person isn't doing their job, the other one, and then the other one pays for it as well. So if you're sitting there like, I want to lose weight, yet you keep drinking like crazy, and you know that all the alcohol is going and against your goals, well, then we're not working together. If you're not doing the homework or the things that we signed up for, then you're not meeting me where we agreed to. So it's all about how bad you want it and working together and having communication skills. It is just like any other relationship.
I love that. Let's go ahead and finish up with a little bit on nutrition. Tell me, what are some things I should do or should never do before a workout nutritionally and after a workout? What do you recommend?
Well, before you work out, depending on what kind of workout you're doing, really, and everybody does things a little bit different. You kind of have to work, see what works for you. So not everyone's going to be the same. Not everyone's body is going to respond the same. You have to see what kind of how you feel the best, when you're going to be most efficient in your workout. If you're going to do a high-intensity workout, though, you're going to want some carbohydrates in your diet, in your body, so that way you have those to burn off of. If you don't feed your body and you do an intense workout, you're going to burn out a lot faster. Another good tip is to make sure that you have protein in your belly and that it's processing, because when you do resistance training, you don't want to just break down the muscle, but you want to rebuild it as well. So by having protein inside your body when you're doing that, you're going to start repairing that muscle as you break it down so that you can become stronger and you can see the definition. So it's always important to have nutrition in your system before doing a workout. And depending on goals, that's always going to vary between person to person. And then post-workout, you know, if you need some sugars back in your diet, a banana and a protein shake or a protein source is going to be really helpful to seeing the result faster. You know, making sure that your diet, that you're spacing it out, that you're taking an adequate amount of protein, carbohydrates, and healthy fats. The best way to do that is to make sure that you're tracking. Using an app will help you track your food up until the point of bedtime to make sure that you're hitting your macronutrients, your proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, and that you're getting to your goal efficiently.
Fantastic. Any other hints or things you might want to recommend someone at this point in, like I said, about 2 months into nutrition and just starting out their weight regimen? Any other hints or tips you might want to give to our listeners or myself?
I would just say don't use excuses. So don't think that you can't do something unless you try it and you know for a fact that you're not at that level yet. If someone gives you a bar and says, you can do a pull-up, here's a big monster band, you're going to put it under your foot, and I want you to try it. You try it until you know that you can't actually do it. And maybe you can do one, and then you have to take a break, and then you do one again. But pretty soon, one and a break turns into two, and then a break turns into three, and then a break. So never use excuses, because I've seen old people come through my gym for their first workout program, and they're doing handstand wall kicks, and they're doing pull-ups, and abs hanging from the bar. You know, so there's no excuses, just work your hardest, do your best, because that's all that matters, is that you're doing your best.
My friend, thank you so much for these great tips. I appreciate it. We have to have you back as I progress along in a couple months here to help me get some advanced training. Give everyone first your Instagram, because they have to see what fantastic shape you're in, and then talk about the Phoenix Effect and where they can find you there.
Yeah, my Instagram, my personal Instagram is Derek Jamieson, D-E-R-E-K. J-A-M-E-S-O-N, and you can find other stuff on Facebook and so on and so forth. And then the Phoenix Effect Instagram is The Phoenix Effect, and there will be a little phoenix icon and an orange, you know, orange and white phoenix on the Instagram, and you can definitely go to the Facebook page and like that, and you can see updates through there and specials that go on or anything we're doing regarding our charities and our social events as well. So you can check it out there.
Terrific. Well, Mr. Derek Jamieson, thank you so much for filling in on our Transformation Tuesday here. I really appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, stay on the line for me. Listeners, you also want to check out Derek's music. Derek Jamieson also, look up online. You'll find all of his music as well. We're going to go ahead and play a quick break. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Just hold me.
that is a sampling of Alex Newell's Collect My Love. I'm on a little glee spree this week because I was able to interview the amazing and beautiful Jenna Ushkowitz on Monday. Special pre-tape interview for the Halloween show. Guys, I hope you enjoyed listening to the show today. Thanks so much to my guests, Michael Lucas and Del Shores, talking about their businesses. And then, of course, we had the amazing. I can't tell you how much I like Derek. You don't understand. Derek Jameson is just a fantastic soul, and so excited to have all these fitness trainers. Every Tuesday, we're going to try to have a different fitness trainer for you, and just a lot of fun for me. And I'm on my journey, and it's working, and I appreciate all the help from you, my listeners, from all my support people, and to trainers like Derek for calling in and helping me out. So great show today. Tomorrow we'll be back with Standing on My Soapbox, our weekly rant, rave, and review show, where you call in and talk about what's happening in your life or what you feel about what's going on in politics, LGBT news, or pop culture. My very special co-host for the entire hour tomorrow will be fitness model and actor and singer Josh Orozco. So I hope you join in at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. And again, we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great evening, everybody. We're out of here.